right now, Adam and Joe.
Hello and welcome to the big British castle. It's time for Adam and Joe to broadcast on the radio. There'll be some music and some random talking in between, and then eventually the whole thing will just end.
Love is like a heat wave by Martha and the Vandellas.
Is that supposed to be ironic, James, our producer? Is that supposed to be a little ironic?
Exactly hot.
Reminder
is it,
of the fact that it's absolutely brassic outside, yeah. And it is like well winter now. Thanks very much. Summer's totally dead. Thanks for rubbing that in my face, James, with that choice of song, Martha and the Vandellas' Heat Wave, like a smack in the mouth first thing on a Saturday morning. Thanks, James.
It's Adam and Joe on BBC Six Music. Good morning, listeners. Welcome to the programme. This week, a very special show. We've got X Factor boy band JLS in the studio for 3 hours. We'll be asking them what it's like to work with Lamar, talking about their number one single, Beat Again, how that felt, and of course, exclusive news about their brand new single coming out early November. That's right, Aston, Marvin, JB, and Ortiz right here in the studio. And you're behind that, aren't you, Adam? You really lobbied heavily to get JLS in.
I thought it was important that we have some live bands and some young guests,
oh,
that
no,
young people.
No, they can't play live.
How do you mean?
Well, they can play live, but they're not going to play. Well, no, actually, they can't.
What are they going to do then?
Just chat. You know, what's your favourite pasta shape?
Yeah.
One of the questions I had.
Fun question.
Who's your favourite restoration poet?
Will they at any point cry?
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's the point, right?
Yeah.
We'll make them cry.
We'll make them cry, of course. Yeah.
That's coming up later in the show. That's not coming up later in the show.
What?
Ladies and gentlemen, just to clarify. What? Because there might have been some people out there who tuned in for the first time. They'd heard about the show and they thought, hey, this is a good show.
JLS.
They've got a good lineup.
I've got nothing against JLS, by the way.
No. I don't know, James. Well, I know.
JLS.
James Lyndon Stanford. We used to go to school with JLS.
That's who it is.
Yeah. So what have we got coming up in the show if JLS aren't on?
All sorts of stuff, but we can't be specific about it. That would be wrong. I tell you what though, listeners, I print out a sheet of notes. I've got an ongoing file on my computer that just says, it's called Six Music Ongoing.
Uh-huh.
It's a Word document. Nice. And I just pick away at it all week with things and bits and bobs. I've got like 13 pages of material here.
Have you?
Yeah. It's mostly made-up jokes.
Right, we've got a lot of made-up... That's what we've got coming up. We've got some made-up jokes. We've got a very huge response to Retro Text the Nation from last week, like celebrity names that you repurpose in your everyday life.
Celebrity, yes.
What, did you not like the way I said that?
You said it just in a cool, exciting way.
Celebrity.
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 Celery or something.
People have been asking about my L-bone, which I was complaining about. I've had an ongoing problem with my right elbow, listeners, which we refer to as my L-bone. And it's been incredibly painful. It's not as bad as it was last week. My sling is off. The sling is off. Ooh, it's on the floor.
That's a very poor bit of appropriation.
Because it doesn't sound like the heat, does it?
Nothing like it.
But I'll tell you what I'm going to do, though. I'm going to take some drugs live.
Oh, drugs in the morning.
Live on the radio.
That's really bad. Hey, BBC presenters aren't supposed to do that kind of thing.
No.
Hey!
Should we play some music now? Here is a hot new track from a hot new band. Well, they're not new anymore, but they're still hot. Vampire Weekend. This is Horchata, taken from their album Contra, their new album, which will be released in January 2010, the year we make contact. And
that's true, isn't it?
It is true. We can think about
that. I
hadn't
thought about that. Yeah. About next year.
Think about that while this is playing Horchata.
How very fashionable.
What?
That record.
In what way?
Don't know. Just got all the quirky sounds.
Well, that's because they're that band.
I know. It's a good thing.
You say it in that sort of jaded way. I'm very fashionable. Like you're taking the mick out of them just for sounding good. What's your problem, Uncle Spikey?
Listen, it's Black Squadron, command time, listeners. Now, how do you think it's going, Black Squadron, the whole Black Squadron thing?
Well, it's a thing for the live show, isn't it? Because it's you can't really put it in the podcast.
No.
So there's a whole section...
Does that make you feel weird about it?
No, I think it's a fun thing for the live listeners, for fun Black thing. Squadron. This is the whole point of Black Squadron. It's a live-only thing,
yeah.
Right?
What do you think of the whole photo command thing, how that's been going?
I think it you are further reducing the amount of people that actually care because they can't see the pictures. Because, however, yeah. for the people that send in the pictures and then look at the photo gallery on the blog.
Hang on a second. Everyone can see the pictures on the gallery, yeah, on the blog.
Yeah. How many people do you think actually go there?
20,000 million.
That's true, isn't it? That's a lot of people. So what am I talking about?
Listen, statistically, the first Black Squadron photo command got 41 photo responses. That was Pan Hat. The second command, Poltergeist Attack, received an extraordinary 121 responses.
That's the one that crashed my email server.
Backwards Close, the following week, maintained that figure precisely, 121 photo responses. Last week, Toast Bracelet, 70 responses.
I'm amazed you got that many.
So I don't know. If one were to make a curve out of that, I mean, curve. it's really dropped off, hasn't it? Last week.
Do you mean a graph?
A curve?
This
week, I don't know. Maybe it's because it was quite sunny last weekend, I'm thinking. Mm-hmm. I mean, this weekend is a bit more gloomy looking down here in London anyway.
Certainly.
Maybe we'll get a better response.
Yeah.
So here we go. So stand by, Black Squadron, for your photo command. We're going to give you a kind of a theme, and you have to take a photo on that theme and text it to us, 64046, or email it, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Just have to establish some parameters before I issue the command this week. Do we on this programme use the word toilet, loo, or lavatory?
Very, very seldom, unless it's completely important.
But if we had to describe that area, which of those words would we use? Because it's something people get very hot under the collar about, don't they? Some people would never say toilet. Some people would think it's disgustingly, trashy to say
I'm
loo.
Upper middle class stroke royal. So I would say loo.
You would say loo?
Yeah.
Is that what the royals say?
Yeah, that's what we say.
And then if you were to describe what you use in there, would you describe it as paper, tissue, or roll?
Oh, no, we say poopy paper.
Do you say poopy paper?
Poople paper. So, or teepee.
No, teepee?
Yeah.
What do you really say?
We do say teepee.
You say teepee? Oh, I see. You just initialize it. Yeah. Okay, well, that doesn't really help me.
Why?
Because I need to describe... Oh, no, we'll say teepee. It's a bit abstract.
Or lavy paper. What's wrong with that?
Lavy paper. Okay. All right, Black Squadron, stand by.
We're going to fire off a track after this. Now, I'm going to tell you folks that it's going to be Emmy the Great with We Almost Had a Baby. That will be firing off as soon as Joe issues the command. So stand by, Black Squadron.
Okay, I'm worried about the command.
Why? What do you think is going to happen?
For reasons I explained earlier. Do you think it's going to be all right?
Because
it's going to be fine.
It involves lavatorial props, so you're worried it's going to go
People
into...
People will misinterpret it.
Sure. Well, that's something that we can... it's only going to affect us.
Okay. Here's the Black Squadron command for this week. Here it is. Lavy paper Egyptian mummy attack.
That's lovely stuff, isn't it? Emmy the Great with We Almost Had a Baby, and she is known as Emily Moss. That's her real name. She's known as Emmy the Great. She was born in 1984, which makes her five years old. And she's known by her stage name as Emmy the Great. She's a London-based singer-songwriter. I'm just reading the notes.
A very good job. It's informative.
That track was from her album First Love, released earlier this year. On the Close Harbour label.
There's a little photo of her here. It doesn't do her justice, does it?
Well, she's uncommonly attractive.
She really is. She came and played some music for us when we were at Glastonbury. She's beautiful.
She is absolutely great in every conceivable way. Now, we've got a free play coming up, or I've got a free play, and I've chosen a Prefab Sprout track. You know, Dermot O'Leary plays a lot of Prefab Sprout.
Does he?
On his Radio 2 show.
Well, it's the Irish connection, right?
Yes, I suppose that's true.
Is that a clever thing to say?
Is he actually Irish, though, Paddy McAloon?
I would have thought so.
You reckon?
Yeah.
I don't know if he definitely is. I suppose you might be right. but we're old Prefab Sprout fans, right?
Yeah.
And particularly the first two albums, Steve McQueen, which is the second one, and the first one is... what's it called, the first one?
Swoon.
Swoon, of course it is, yeah. I mean, those are two of the best albums ever made. you know, to say nothing of them being...
Young people might not know who they are, but they're a terrific band. They're one of those bands whose singles really never were a particularly brilliant indication of how great their album material was, right?
Yes.
If you just heard the things that charted, you might get the wrong end of the stick.
Well, there's two very different types of Prefab Sprout. There's one quite weird, angular, indie, poppy one, right? Mm. And then there's quite a sugary, some would say overproduced Prefab Sprout. And I, you know, I like both, personally, don't you?
You love overproduced sugar.
I really do. I'm going to play an overproduced sugary number right now from one of their albums.
Cool.
And this is from, I think it's from Langley Park to Memphis, their album.
It doesn't sound very firm. It just sounds a bit shaky, fact-wise.
Fact-wise. Well, I can check.
Why not just say that once at the end of the record, tell people what album it's from?
Yeah, I suppose so. I mean, but here's the thing, that we got an invitation, or not an invitation, but a suggestion that maybe myself and Joe might like to interview Paddy McAloon. He's famously reclusive, as well as the other thing.
Yeah.
And so we were sort of unsure as to whether we should do it or not. I think maybe it's a bad idea, like, because you shouldn't meet your heroes.
And what could go wrong?
Well, I get the feeling he's just someone who's not particularly at ease with being interviewed and being a public figure. Mm. And what could go wrong is that he might find it very painful.
Well, we're not very professional, are we? We wouldn't sort of ease over those bumps, would we?
No.
I mean, it would be a bit of a marriage made in hell, wouldn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It would be strange because we'd be
uncomfortable.
And the onus on us would be to be silly and...
Would it? Do you think?
Why would they ask us to interview him?
Well, I don't know.
If they didn't want it to be ridiculous.
You're right.
Anyway, we'll figure it out. But here's Prefab Sprout. This is a track called Knock on Wood from Langley Park to Memphis is the album it came from. Holy moly, we're going to be the electric brums.
Fleetingly.
Fleetingly. What time are we on? 12.
Well, noon on a Thursday.
Yeah.
The hottest slottest.
The biggest slot.
Well done, Black Squadron. It's been an extraordinary response to the command this morning, which was Egyptian mummy lavy paper attack or something. And what a response. I mean, for about the first 3 or 4 minutes of that Emmy the Great track, that's the track we played, isn't it, out of the command, there was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, oh, God, this is a disaster. But then I literally chatted to you for about 30 seconds.
Literally did.
Literally did. Turned back to my computer desktop, and there were scores. Particularly good one here has come in from... Oh, no, Phil!
How much is a score? Is a score 12?
10.
10?
Yeah, so scores plural is like units of 10.
How many do you think a score is? 20.
Why would a score be 20? What sort of a unit is 20?
We don't know anything.
I know it's 10.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'm surrounded by ignoramuses who are undermining my confidence.
You're the king of the ignoramuses.
What are you talking about?
Well, they're your ignorant
subject.
I've
got a B in O-level maths. A B.
A B.
I know what a score is. Now I've lost the flipping text.
It's a good show, isn't it?
The picture.
Glad you tuned in, aren't you?
Well, there's very good ones of a cat.
Score. Paddy McAloon is definitely Irish, you reckon? We've got a listener saying he's from Stockton-on-Tees.
What, the listener is from Stockton-on-Tees?
Didn't you say the listener said Paddy McAloon?
Paddy McAloon. But you know, we can't just accept anything anyone sends us in as fact, just because it's an opinion that isn't ours.
We get lied to so often.
All listeners. Right, look, I tell you what, this whole thing about a score being
right.
10.
Yeah.
If I'm right about that...
Let's figure this out. Okay, point one. Is Paddy McAloon Irish? Point one, right? We need some corroboration, ladies and gentlemen. Point two, what is a score? Is it 10? Is it 20?
Okay, listen, if a score is 10, though,
yeah,
I am always right about everything, okay? And there can be no more questioning my authority. We're going to make this the linchpin.
Really?
Yeah, this is the example. This is the... you know, I can't finish the sentence even...
This is the Rosetta Stone of your kingship of the Right Kingdom.
Right, you can never question my authority again if a score is 10.
Uh-huh.
What was your stance on McAloon?
Well, I'm just curious to know whether he... I don't know if he is actually Irish. Mm. I mean, I feel like he's probably from... His ancestry is probably Irish, isn't it? But I don't think he himself is born and raised in Ireland, is he? I'm not sure. But we need your help, listeners. And what was the other point? Wasn't there one more thing?
What, that we're not sure about?
Yeah.
I know, just those two so far. But we're only, like, half an hour into the programme. I'm sure there'll be more.
There'll be an awful lot more. I'm certain. So, yes, we said earlier on that we're going to be at the Electric Proms on Wednesday. No, Thursday, isn't it? And we will be announcing later in the show who the winners of our Electric Proms Song Wars competition are. Myself and Joe have picked, out of all the entries we've got, just two acts, right?
Yeah, one to represent your song, one to represent my song.
Yeah, and in the end, how many entries did we get?
Well, there were 17 Sontum of Qualis entries, I think. How many Nutty Room entries were there?
Around the same, maybe 20 or something.
Mm.
And a pretty high standard in the end.
Why are you saying it like that?
Because it's not true.
How rude.
No, I'm joking. It was a high standard. I tell you, it divided very sharply between really pretty disturbingly mad,
yeah,
and really very, very good. Mm-hmm. But what I did was, because we weren't exactly overwhelmed with entries, right, I was able to go onto the YouTube channels and leave personal comments for them.
Insulting comments?
Well, no, I had to tread carefully in some areas.
Yeah.
Because it did, some of the entries we got did look like the work of you know, people from
the Mentile.
Yeah, yeah, the kind of people that Dexter might go after. But I left comments for all of them, and we'll be finding out who has won that competition later on in the program.
And I've made some comments as well. I think some stuff that we kind of wrote up is going to be put on our blog during or after the show, so check out the Adam and Joe blog. I should say as well, I was looking out there for the first full-body toilet paper mummy.
Oh, yeah.
I think that's very impressive, because it's quite hard to wrangle toilet paper. It does tend to rip, doesn't it?
Without a partner, it's very hard.
Yeah.
Or even with a partner.
Especially when you're wrapping it around the whole body. And often when you try and tie it off, the perforations let you down.
Yeah, and if it's a bit damp as well, it tends to...
Why would it be damp?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's just gone 9:30 here on BBC Six Music. It's time for the news. Lily Allen with The Fear. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Welcome, listeners. Very nice to have you along on this quite chilly Saturday morning. We hope maybe that we'll help to warm your cockles with our radio rubbish. So listen, earlier on, we were talking about the fact that Joe was convinced a score...
Was 10. And I really pinned my reputation on that one. I said that, you know, if I get this right, then I'm going to be right about everything.
He wanted it to be... So convinced was he that he was right. I got a B in O-level maths, he boasted, that he insisted the result... the answer be the linchpin stroke Rosetta Stone of his kingship of the Kingdom of Rightness hereafter.
We've had various emails. Joe Tiltman says, "Dear correct Adam and foolish Joe, a score is 20. He says something quite rude there that I can't read about me. Ken Pierce, "I'm afraid Joe is wrong. A score is 20. Abraham Lincoln famously used the phrase in his Gettysburg Address in 1863. Nigel Lupton, "Just thought I'd let you know, a score is 20, as in the saying, 3 score years and 10, to describe someone who's 70 years old. I could go on for a while. There's a lot of emails.
So did you just not...
Gavin Graham, "While I'm at it, 20, big lols."
What happened in the O-level maths class then? Was that...
Well, it was a B, wasn't it? And it didn't have any questions about score, what a score was.
So you lucked out in a way that you got a B.
Paddy McAloon, on the other hand, is from County Durham.
That's not Ireland.
That's not Ireland.
No.
No, that's Teesside. That's
yeah, exactly. That's Teesside. So, you know...
Double strikes against cornballs there, surely.
That's not very good, is it?
I mean, I'm personally delighted about the score, because you were so confident, and you really did insist on basing the whole level of respect and like, whether we had to bow down and worship you and stuff.
I can't argue with that. It's true.
Fiesta! Yay! In your face, cornballs! It's a 20, not a 10, you idiot hole! Oh, that felt good.
Yeah. Well, I haven't got a leg to stand on, have I? Dear Adam and Joe, a score is 20. Everyone seems to have heard of Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address. Mm. Who is this Abraham Lincoln? What is this Gettysburg address?
I've heard of Abraham Lincoln.
Could they all be wrong? Is there still a chance that everyone could be wrong?
Yeah, there's always a chance.
I mean, it could just be a coincidence.
Listen, I'm celebrating, but I'm even stupider than you are. Mm. So, you know, I'm just getting my jollies where I can. Here's some great music for you now, listeners. Wild Beasts, this is All the King's Men. Love it. That's Wild Beasts with All the King's Men. It's my ambition to be in a Wild Beasts video, Joe.
That's achievable, surely.
You reckon? I mean, they're a big band. They've got posters all over the underground, just absolutely covered in stars and rave reviews for their album Two Dancers, which is thought by many to be the album of the year. You should run out and get it if you don't already own it. And so they could pick and choose, I would think, because they're so hot right now. But I would love to be in that. What I'm thinking is, because I am the polar opposite of the lead singer, I don't know his name, but he's a rakishly good-looking, thin young man with a little mustachio. And that amazing voice, that falsetto. Like, I could lip sync, right? Don't you think it'd be quite good doing a little bit of hairy squat man lip syncing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be very good. Didn't you do that in a video Garth made?
That's true. I did a similar thing for the Wannadies. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. For a track called Little by Little.
Yeah, that would be good.
That's my dream. I'm hoping it'll come true before Christmas. I'll let you know if it does, listeners. But right now, I think we should get into Retro Text the Nation. Let's have the jingle jongle.
I like to listen to Adam and Joe, but I listen to the podcast, not the live show. I used to feel acute frustration because I couldn't join in with Text the Nation. But now my troubles have disappeared because Retro Text the Nation's here. And now my letter might be read out instead of thrown in the trash and forgotten about.
So last week's Text the Nation, listeners, was all about repurposing celebrity names, kind of mangling them for daily use. And to be honest, it didn't go spectacularly during the live show. We kind of got a few good ones. Susan Surround Sound, I remember, being a very good one. I'm going to be using that one.
The rest of them were frankly not Boris Goodenough.
But during the week, it really took off.
Yeah.
The emails came flooding in and we've got loads of good ones now.
Sorry to go on a tiny tangent, but can I just say it was nice to hear Trash back in the jingle there.
Was that the Trash version again?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's divided our listeners as well, hasn't it? Some people love the bin version. Some people like the trash version.
There are a lot of people.
It's impossible to be. Some people think a score is 20. Some people think it's 10. It's just impossible to please everybody.
Some people think Paddy
when there is no right or wrong.
It's from Ireland, in County Durham, in Ireland.
I mean, truth is, you know, it's an abstract concept, isn't it?
It's a flexible friend, isn't
exactly.
It?
Yeah. So here are the best Text the Nations we got during the week. Here's one from Simon in London. Hi, Adam and Joe. Listening to your Text the Nation on repurposing famous names, I thought of a phrase we used to say at uni a lot. When something was particularly contentious, rather than labelling it controversial, we would say that it was John-troversial. After the start of Grease and Face Off. Take care, Simon in London. That's good, isn't it?
Yeah, that's very good. Here's a couple from Jane right now. She says, here are some fun sprinkles for the show. That's nice, isn't it?
We love fun sprinkles on our show.
But then she says, don't get too excited about it.
Oh, no.
So she builds it up with the fun sprinkles, then she whips the sprinkles away.
She knows us so well.
She really does.
How many sprinkles are there?
I mean, hundreds and thousands.
Really?
Yeah.
How many scores?
4 score and another 4 score, and then several more scores. She says, if you have a long, hard day at work and you have a drink when you get in, that's called a Mike Baldwin, or a Baldwin for short. Ideally, it would be a whiskey poured straight into a tumbler.
Why is it called that?
Well, this is more about what's associated with the names than the actual names themselves. So is she straying outside the rules there?
Well, I don't even understand it
Mike
at all.
Mike Baldwin, I think,
any
he's a soap character who likes a drink, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
She goes on, if I have a glass of wine while I'm cooking dinner, this is called a Keith Floyd, God rest his soul, or a Floyd for short. Love, love, love the show. So she's associating it with, like, what they were associated with. That's not within
It's an
the
interesting
rules.
Choice.
I shouldn't have chosen that one.
It's a good... No, it's good.
With.
I guess I... Yeah, it's...
I was seduced by the sprinkles.
That was a good opening. How about this one? John from Stockport. Every time my girlfriend puts Savlon on her lips, I always say, putting some Jimmy Savlon.
You even said it like Savile.
Well, exactly. I think I did a good job there.
Jimmy Savile on.
Yeah, I'm recovering.
Here's one from Mo. And I think this is within the rules of the Retro Text the Nation. When I think my four-month-old daughter may have done a poo, I say to her, let's go and check your Alan de Bottom. Makes me chuckle anyway.
That's
Thank
good.
You, Mo.
That's good. Here's one from Claire in Sheffield. Hi. When I'm leaving work, I say, I'm off, which mutated to, I'm off-ski, and has now settled it, I'm Darren Aronofsky.
That's a good
I don't
one.
Think anyone at work knows who Darren Aronofsky is, but they just accept it. Claire from Sheffield. More fool them.
Here's one from Mark in Godalming. He says, I know you've probably stopped doing the famous names repurposing thing, but I just remembered a good one that me and my wife do. So it's not too late. When you're getting the kids dressed and you're putting their tops on and you ask them to hold their arm out so you can get the sleeve on with greater ease, you sometimes say, put your arm in, but we say, iddy arm in.
Nice. That's good.
And then he says, do you think the former president of Uganda's name is an appropriate one to use when dressing a five-year-old? I would say no, Mark.
One from Paul in Beckenham. If I wake up in the morning and I'm going to visit the parents, or maybe a semi-important business appointment, I might gaze in the mirror, rub my chin, turn to my lovely wife and ask her, do I need a Hugo Chavez? Many's the night when I've set my alarm thinking, do I need a Hugo Chavez tomorrow? In fact, the word shave has lost all meaning for me now, and when I hear the name of the president of Venezuela on the TV or radio, I think about my chin.
But then you have to go for the soft CH. I would call him
a
Hugo,
Chavez.
Hugo Chavez.
Chavez.
Hugo Chavez.
Well, he's manipulating it there for his own purposes.
Typical of Chavez.
Exactly. Those are pretty good, though, don't you think? A good result?
Have you got some more there?
I've got one or two. I've read out all the best ones, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, I've got some good ones.
Give us another.
Here's one from Lizzie Finn. When I'm feeling, and I do this one as well, I bet you do, and I bet a lot of people do. When I'm feeling bogged down a bit with too many boring or mundane things to do at work, which stop me from doing something more interesting, I'll sometimes say to my boyfriend, I was pretty Peter Bogdanovich today at work.
That's good. Very good.
I've been Peter Bogdanovich.
I was going to make Peter Bogdanovich joke on the blog.
Were you?
I was going to call it the Peter Bogdanovich.
Nice.
But then I wondered whether anyone would understand what I was saying.
Of course.
No one under 30 would, probably.
Here's a final one, and this came in from a couple of people who do the same thing. James in Devon and Stephen McLaughlin, they both say cats later as opposed to catch you later.
That's good. That's quite a classic one, I think.
Yeah.
Here's another EastEnders-related one. Cats later is in EastEnders, right?
I think so.
Oh, my God. This is from Mark Reedman. Dear Adam and Joe, my wife and I used to enjoy playing on the tenuous rhyme between escutcheon, the little protective metal disc that covers a keyhole, and Martine McCutcheon, the actor who played Tiffany in EastEnders. When approaching the door, we would brandish the key and say, excuse me, Martine, as we nudged the escutcheon to one side. The voice we used for this tended to be gruff and masculine, a bit like Tiffany's dad, Terry. Sadly, we can't do this anymore as we've got no escutcheons where we live. Best wishes, Mark Redman.
Wait, I'm reeling from the news that is called an escutcheon, the little disc that
covers
the keyhole.
Am I saying it right? Escutcheon.
Yeah.
I can't trust myself anymore. I'm walking on mental eggshells.
Your faith in yourself has been shaken to its core.
Come on, that's a good one, isn't it?
To its score.
Tell me it's a good one. Please tell me I've done something right.
Jobo, that was absolutely...
I hate this program.
That was brilliant, man. That was
Thanks, really man. Good.
Now listen, here's some music that'll make you feel better about yourself, right?
All right.
I've never heard it before, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be very inspiring. So
this
listen.
Is my free play, you nutbag. This is called... Have you never heard this before? This is on a compilation Edgar Wright made for me years ago. And it sounds like a classic to me. It's by someone called Blossom Deary. I think it's remixed a lot. This is called... it's from... Where is it from? Hang on. I'll tell you what year it is from. Is this all right to do this kind of thing? Just to stop and then mumble and then flick papers?
Yeah, but
is that
I mean...
acceptable?
It's you telling us what year it's from. How can we believe you?
That's true. I've got no authority anymore. It's from 2050. This is Blossom Deary with I Like London in the Rain.
Slightly sort of Leave the Machine running there at the end.
That's Corner Shop with Sleep on the Left Side. And the record before then, the Blossom Deary one, it was from 1970. And that's a fact!
Oh.
From the album, That's Just the Way I Want to Be.
It's all right, man.
It's a popular breakbeat sample. Facts. Three solid, uncontestable facts.
You know, the Fiesta really got to you, didn't it?
I don't like negative Fiestas. I mean, that was a bully Fiesta.
It was a little
bit. It was just a mocking. It was a nasty party.
What, the in-your-face party?
Yeah, it's not. It's just not a relaxing party. It's like a really horrible surprise party.
If it's
party.
Any consolation, everyone else
it's like you
Fiesta
come home, you open your door.
Time.
And instead of everyone coming up from behind the sofa and going, woo, they come up and go,
in your face, specifically, yeah. In your face, you idiot hole.
Yeah. I mean, I deserved it. I did,
oh, come
I did
on.
Get
you
it wrong.
You didn't deserve it. You didn't deserve it. I'm really sorry. It's never gonna. You're never going to have a bullying Fiesta again this week. Now, what are we doing, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, yes, we've got to stand down Black Squadron before we go any further, for goodness sake. I mean, it's 10 o'clock. They're supposed to be stood down at 9:30.
They've been standing there for an hour, wrapped in lavatory
paper.
Or at least proper Black Squadron members would have been.
Yeah.
Black Squadron!
Stand down, your work is done. You've earned yourself a nice warm bath. And maybe a nice little bun.
Black Squadron!
You could have a nice little bun in the bath if you wanted. That's entirely up to you. Now, a couple of weeks back, when it wasn't quite so cold, me and my family went to have some family fun at a place called Pleasurewood Hills over in East Anglia. It's, you know, other theme parks.
Sounds like a dirty park.
Are available.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a place to take the kids, to be perfectly honest.
I'd never thought of it like that, but it does sound dirty, doesn't it? Pleasurewood Hills. Anyway, it's not. It's an absolutely delightful...
Three of the sexiest words in the English language.
It's true, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. They are the backbone of the porn industry, those words. So why would you want to take your family...
Especially hills. I mean, that's dirty.
A big, dirty theme park. It's not like that at all. Obviously, it's a family fun day out, and it's a very enjoyable one too. And we were having such a good time there.
What did they have there?
They had...
I mean, I'd hope they had woods and hills.
It was gently rolling hills. There was some attractions that were made of wood, mainly fiberglass.
What kind of things?
Slides,
bums.
Water chutes, slides, bums, a giant bum.
Fiberglass bums.
A huge woman that you could walk inside. What? Usual stuff.
Come on, focus.
What? You're the one who's...
Just like the image of you and your family going to Pleasurewood Hills and playing on the fiberglass bums. That would be fun. You could slide down the crack and...
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway.
They didn't have any of that, right? It's a nice place. It's a nice family place. Although, you know, if we ever got, like, some spare time and money, we could certainly think about setting up that other theme park. I think it would be nice. but we were queuing up for one ride. It wasn't so much a ride. It was a little bit like one of those...
Oh, God.
What are you thinking of the word ride?
Well... Keep talking.
Come on, smutty-minded Cornish man.
Just fun. So you were queuing up for a ride.
Queuing up for a ride.
Mm.
Oh.
But it wasn't exactly a ride.
No, it wasn't. It was what it was just like a chairlift, basically, is what it was. Mm. You know? Do you ever remember the first episode of Father Ted where there's a kind of very low rent theme park and one of the attractions is just a sofa on a winch being moved up and down or something like that? There was a touch of that to this.
Chairlifts are fun though. When I was a kid and before I'd ever been skiing, I used to and I've only been skiing like twice, didn't really like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to be mesmerized by chairlifts.
Yeah.
Brilliant idea, really exciting. Were your kids excited to go on the chairlift?
Well, they really were. They were very excited. Mm. So we queued up. But the thing was, I don't know why exactly. Oh, yes, because you could get on the chairlift and then get off the other end, or you could go and then come right the way back. So there was people getting on and off at either end of the chairlift, right, which sort of stretched across the centre of the park.
Mm.
So
good view of the bums.
Yeah, I mean, just breathtaking. And so you had to wait, like, to get on every other chair. Do you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
They weren't letting people on every single chair. So it was taking quite a long time because the chairs were moving imperceptibly slowly was the other thing. So queuing up for this thing, even though there are only about six people in the queue, was a very long-winded business. And in front of us was this couple, these two men, and they were chatting away and they were very excited about getting on the chairs. And then there was in front of them this big lady, big matriarch, loud woman. And she was there. And at one point, she turned around to this large group of people that came in and started joining the queue behind us. And she said, "Come on, come up here. You're coming up here." And we were like, "Really? There's about six people that have just joined the queue there, and she's inviting them to jump ahead of us." She's like, "Yeah, come on." And they were sort of dithering, sort of not sure if that was cool to go ahead in front of so many people, which of course it wasn't. But she said, "Yeah, come on, come on. Yes, I'm standing here, so you're coming up here. Come on, you're all coming and standing. Come on, yes, you're coming here. Come on." So they all start pushing ahead of myself and my family and the people behind
us. That's disgusting.
And also this couple of guys in front of us, right? And I was thinking, surely this is not on, because they've just doubled the length of this already very long wait. So the two guys in front just sort of said, "They're not coming and standing there. No way. We're waiting in the queue." And this woman just rounded on them. She said, "What? They are standing here? All right, because I say so. Don't tell me what to do." It got really aggressive,
sounds
really
like
fast.
Some kind of theme park in Royston Vasey.
It was. It turned into one at that point. It was really very aggressive. And I was thinking, oh my goodness, these guys are never... But they wouldn't stand for it. These guys totally held their ground. And they said, you know, they weren't being rude or anything. He just said, "Look, darling, come on, we've all been..." And she goes, "Don't call me darling! How dare you call me darling!" And then she started spitting a homophobic abuse at them.
No.
Yeah, and swearing at them. And at one point, it looked like she was going to get violent with them. And I was thinking, oh my gosh. And then her family of kids and stuff started shouting at these guys and like hurling abuse at them as well. It was really harsh.
Broken Britain.
It was really broken Britain. But luckily, it just as at boiling point where I was just thinking, you know, Count Buckley's might have to step in here.
What would Count Buckley's have done?
Probably, you know, just maced them all.
Really?
And, I don't know what Count Buckley's would have done. He would have used his very tremulous,
"Now
frightened
look.
Voice. Excuse me, can you, now look, stop it." Anyway, Count Buckley's didn't have to step in because the woman said, "All right, we're going to leave. We're going to leave. The smell's getting to me in this queue anyway." It was ridiculous.
Wow.
She was like a kind of cartoon matriarch woman. Do you think you would have stepped in that situation?
I don't know.
With someone that over the top?
I don't know. No, I would be scared because you can't take on a whole family.
No.
God has designed families to... I think in caveman times, whole families would fight regularly. And the children would go for the ankles, you know, and the sensitive parts, headbutting.
The bottoms. She was a very scary matriarch. But when she had gone, I very pathetically leaned forward and patted the guy on the back and said, "Good on you, mate.
Good on you, mate. Good on you, mate." Did you go Australian for that?
I did go Australian. I don't know why.
And what did they say?
He said, "Wow, she was taking the mic." Mm. So there was a nice little sense of community after.
What an extraordinary outing.
Wow.
What an amazing theme park.
I recommend it, I tell you. Right, here's a bit of Mos Def right now. You like Mos Def,
yes? This is a good record. This is called Quiet Dog. I think it's called Bark Loud, but knowing my luck with facts, it's not.
I think it's from the album The Ecstatic.
No, it's from previous one, I think. But listen, forget about facts where we're concerned. We're going to look up these facts during this record, but one thing we can say is this is Mos Def. Oh no, it's that dog again. Listeners,
low rap and music.
Boggins has come back into the studio. Boggins is quite a controversial dog. We had a couple of emails.
Oh, just done a poo.
Boggins, shush.
I'm going to eat it.
Can't understand what you're saying. Natalie in Cardiff says, "I love Boggins. He's fab, a great addition to the show. Any chance he'll be making an appearance every show?" Whereas John Usher from York says, "Hi, I heard Boggins again on the podcast and he's still rubbish.
I'm going to lick your face. Is it okay?"
Boggins. "In fact, listening to Boggins makes me feel physically sick now. I beg of you, please stop allowing Boggins into the show. Thank you, John Usher from York." I mean, there's two very oppositional views about
buttons. I found a bird, I killed it, and I'm going to eat it. Is that okay? I love you.
Sad, but he's incomprehensible these days. But listen, I'm going to agree with John Usher, and I'm actually going to have Boggins put down, because he's a nuisance, and he's not sanctioned at all by the BBC. He comes in here, I think the receptionists probably like him or let him in or turned a blind eye, but he's recently weed on Terry Wogan.
I love you. Can I eat your... I'm going to eat your face.
He used to be popular
I'm
when
gonna lick
was on
your
in the 70s, but
knees.
Now he's just a relic. So I'm going to put him down. he's frightened. He's gone off.
What have you done to Boggins?
He ran off. I threatened to have him put down.
He ran past me
the
as I was coming
him.
Back from the toilet.
The audience hate
I
him.
I hate him as well. I hate dogs.
Apart from Natalie in Cardiff, she's the only person who would stand up for Boggins.
She what? No, come on. I love dogs. Well, I'm just joking. Dogs are adorable. Why would you want to
hurt... We're not talking
about
dogs. We're talking specifically about Boggins.
Oh, about Boggins.
Elderly, incomprehensible dog with... With
he's
bottom-based
sweet.
Problems.
He's so sweet.
Well, he's gone now, listeners. So let us know if you want Boggins put down.
It smells, though, doesn't it, in here now?
Yeah.
It stinks. He's so sweet.
Let us know if you want us to kill Boggins. Listeners.
Hey.
What?
Hey.
What?
Saying that,
yeah, in a very, it would be humane, wouldn't it?
He's looking
yeah, it would
at
be
James.
A shot.
He's looking at the presenter.
Well,
producer,
there are probably guidelines on executing fictional dogs, aren't there? You know, this is the Big British Castle. You can't just murder an idea like that.
Well, we do that all the time.
Murder an imaginative space. listen, so I would like your advice, Adam.
Yeah.
Do you text? Do you like to text people?
I do it once in a while. The reception I have is not so good, so I
I'm
have
a keen texter. I love
yeah,
to text.
Indeed.
Do you, when you text someone, do you put a little kiss at the end?
No, I don't go for the kiss. No, I just go for the initial.
Do you?
Yeah.
Do
yeah.
you really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, this is a factor in emailing as well, isn't it? How you sign off emails.
Actually, now you mention it, I go for the initial in an email when it's clear who it's from.
You do a kiss.
No kissing. Never.
No. You never kiss.
Or I put love.
You put love.
Yeah.
Love
yeah.
ad.
Yeah. In yeah. an email.
You see, when I first started texting many years ago, the person I used to text the most, my text buddy, he used to put a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
See you later. Bye, see you at the cinema. So I got
not
into the
three
habit
kisses,
of...
Though, was it?
Not three kisses, just one. I'm exaggerating for effect. Yeah.
Right. See you later.
Well, it's a weird thing, isn't it? Because he's not a man I would kiss.
Yeah.
I mean, not really even... I would kiss him on the cheek, but not regularly. And you find yourself in funny situations when you put a kiss after a text. For instance, I was texting a friend... Quite a new friend, and you know, the kisses were flying. It was very mundane conversation, like meeting up and where you're going to be and so. But at the end of everything, it was a little kiss. So what do you do, like, for instance, so your opening one can have a kiss because maybe you think the conversation's not going to go that far.
Yeah.
But then we ended up having quite a long conversation, and I was still doing the kiss at the end of each.
Well, you started kissing him too.
Yeah.
You are so easily led.
It's just a fun... I mean, it doesn't mean I want to kiss the friend necessarily.
Oh, it does.
Does it?
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the dangerous areas. Because he stopped putting kisses at the end of his...
He was getting freaked out.
...messages. I kept sending the kisses.
Did you?
Yeah. Okay, then. That sounds good. Can you imagine if in a real conversation, you just... after every sentence, yeah. you just leant in and...
And then you might be like one of those Euro people who go for one of the
yes.
random people who go for a lip kiss.
A lip kiss.
Oh.
There's someone I'm working with on the thing I'm working on, quite a professional guy. And at the end of every email, whatever it's about, it's big kiss, small kiss, big hug, small hug, kiss.
How do you do a hug?
A circle, I do believe.
Is that a hug?
Well, I think so, unless it's something more racy.
I think it's what if it's mouth, some other kind of mouth pleasure?
A tongue kiss?
Yeah.
I mean, these are quite business-like emails we're getting about, you know, photography tests and stuff. and Diddle B. Yeah, the tests look really good. See you on Monday. That was a tongue kiss I was doing there. But I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue kissing because I think, you know, sometimes you have to take a view on whether to do that kind of thing in a message to your parents as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or whether to do it, you know, sometimes the professional and personal boundary can be blurred. If you're working with someone important who you're also friendly with, is it good to give them a couple of kisses?
I just go for the catch-all love. Which I think for some people is probably a bit creepy anyway, but...
I'm going to carry on kissing.
You carry on, man. But I hope you take precautions.
Thank you.
Here's some music now. This is the Smiths with What Difference Does It Make?
Extraordinary response to my threat to humanely cull Boggins. I mean, the listenership is really, really divided.
Are they?
Some people are absolutely, what's the phrase? Chomping at the bit.
Chomping or champing?
Both. Champing and chomping at the bit. To see Boggins executed. An anonymous
executed.
Text, put Boggins in a sack and drop bricks on him.
Oh, that's hot.
I know. Well, I'm just reading out what people have sent in.
Yeah.
This is a fictional dog.
I know, but just the thought.
You can't be too careful these days. I mean, look, exactly. Look what happened on telly last weekend, X Factor and Strictly, both of them. Enveloped in scandals.
Yeah.
The world is so scandal sensitive right now.
Certainly, a scandal.
You've got to be very, very careful.
At any point.
Fictional dog. Let Boggins taste the sweet release of death. I hear it's delicious.
Who's that from?
It's anonymous. That's
They're
the
all
thing
anonymous.
About. Anonymity
you
want to is
read
so
out
dangerous.
Creepy anonymous texts about killing fictional animals.
We love Boggins. Don't do it, says someone else.
Yeah.
A lot of younger listeners are very distressed.
I mean, he absolutely stinks, Boggins.
By the fictional dog.
But he's so sweet.
He's very sweet. He will drag his bottom across the carpet.
He does. He's got some problem with his glands, I think. So he's trying to itch them and it leaves a terrible smell.
He is trying to
itch them.
But
he's very sweet.
Save Boggins. Don't send Boggins to doggy heaven early. He's brilliant. Paul in Glasgow.
He's a little kiss there.
Two kisses from Paul.
No hugs.
What I'd like to do is if listeners give us kisses, can we invite them in to actually give us the kisses? Just on the cheek.
What's happened with your plan to sleep with the listeners?
I don't know. There's been very little. There was a response from the listeners, wasn't there, that the production team haven't exactly swung into action.
Things move very slowly at the castle.
They do, don't they? It'll have to be approved, but it will happen.
I mean, to say you have to jump through hoops is a understatement of massive proportions. So, folks, I don't know if you know, but we've got a podcast available of this program. And it's not just like a little condensed package of highlights, although essentially that's what it is. They just remove the music and the stuff that we can't clear, and you're left with all the talking bits. But you're also left with some wonderful jingles and a little intro and an outro that's a special dedicated intro and outro for the podcast. But some people still don't know that this thing exists, and we care about the podcast very much, and it's available to download free on iTunes and other places like that every Monday evening. It usually comes out. But we want to make as many people aware of the existence of the podcast as possible. So James, our producer, was suggesting we do some kind of trail, right, that we could play during the live show. So, running out of time this week, I came up with this. I'll play in the opening part of the trail. So this, I was thinking that this would go at the beginning of a little package of highlights from the podcast. So this would be the intro part of the trail. Here it is.
Hi, my name's Adam Buxton, and I want to talk to you about podcasts. Thousands of people in the UK get the Adam and Joe podcasts every Monday night. They're not serious, but if they're not dealt with immediately, they can build up and become irritating. The podcast is caused by the highlights of Adam and Joe's Six Music show on a Saturday morning, with all the actual music bits surgically removed. However, there are some extra bits which can be highly infectious.
You see, you get the joke.
Well, it makes it sound sort of like quite clinical and dangerous.
It's like a public health warning.
Yeah.
But then I chose the wrong sort of music, really, to go underneath.
Well, it's like you're repelling people from the podcast.
And it's like I'm repelling. That's the other problem with it. I was
playing it to you because I wanted to see if you'd spot the problem with it. It's repellent.
It's good, though. It's very good.
You want to hear the outro?
Yeah.
Here's the outro that would come after the clip packages if this was ever used, which it will not.
I can't wait. And it seems like as if I don't have to, which is wonderful.
Here it is.
The good news is that Adam and Joe podcasts are not serious and can be got rid of very easily. If you'd like to catch Adam and Joe podcasts, your best bet is to hang around the internet on a Monday night. Or you can sleep with someone who already has Adam and Joe podcasts. They're generally easy to spot because they're very attractive.
I like the music bed. That's a sort of
It's like a fun government announcement.
It is, isn't it? I mean, it's depressing but yet upbeat at the same time. Kind of thing. Like life.
Quick,
like illnesses.
Before my free play, thumbs up or thumbs down for the podcast trail?
Thumbs up, man.
Oh, thanks, man.
Definitely.
It's unexpected. Here's Wire with Dot Dash. Wire with Dot Dash. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. It's just after 10:30 and time for the news.
An extraordinary 140 Black Squadron pictures have come into the studio. Now, that's amazing. Our previous record was 121. That's really amazing. Well done, Black Squadron.
Very good response, Squadron.
And that's not even accounting for the pictures we might receive during the week.
We salute you. You just heard The Police there with So Lonely. It's a little bit of shtung for you. And he's got a new album of, like, madrigals played on a mouth harp or whatever.
Has it?
Coming out, yeah. And will you be buying that one?
No.
You used to love shtung.
Well, I was thinking about that the other day. I went through a peculiar phase when hi-fi stereo videotapes first came out. Do you remember?
Yes, yes.
And for some reason, he released his concert film, The Dream of the Blue Turtles, or Bring on the Night, or whatever it's called. I think they're both concert films.
Well, Bring on the Night was a Police film. Dream of Blue Turtles was his solo album.
With his wife giving birth.
Yes.
In the middle of it.
And that amazing jazz band he
assembled. And he did assemble an incredible, like, jazz funk band.
Yeah.
And we used to listen to that a lot, to listen to the Omar Hakim drum solos and stuff. But not anymore.
Have you listened to that album recently?
I haven't, no. It crossed my mind to buy it again, to buy the DVD, actually, of the film, just as a kind of nostalgia trip.
Love is the seventh wave, I say love is the seventh wave.
Hey,
was good.
Hey, it's good.
It's really, really good.
It's good.
So listen, folks, Text the Nation this week, right? Let's have the jingle jungle.
Text the Nation. Text the Nation.
What if I don't want to?
Text the Nation.
But I'm using email. Is that a problem?
It doesn't matter. Text.
I mean, what's happened, essentially, is that Text the Nation and Retro Text the Nation within the body of the live programme have kind of swapped places. Text the Nation now is really just we get the topic rolling and then people are welcome to respond to it either in the live programme or during the week. And we do get an awful lot of people listening on the podcast who respond to, or listen again, who respond to the Text the Nation topic via email.
And so
email,
you're saying that we shouldn't sort of go hell for leather with it?
We don't have to. I'm just saying we don't have to.
We shouldn't let it take things over.
Exactly.
Because people can respond during the week and then it makes for an even more considered retro Text the Nation.
We don't have to have like 5 or 7 segments.
Well, then shut up about it.
Why don't you shut up
about it? Why don't you just shut up about it?
Yeah.
You know what? I've
changed
my mind.
You got any of that chill cake?
No, I haven't. Do you want me to get... No, I'll get it. We'll get into that later.
Cake.
We have had a missive from the the baker of the chill cake.
Was he angry?
Nah, he's all right. I'll tell you about that later.
All right. But listen, before we go any further, the email, if you want to respond to our Text the Nation topic this week, is adamandjoe.sixmusic@bbc.co.uk. Or you can text us, of course. 64046 is the text number. And this week, we're talking about family holidays or family breaks specifically, right? Not like the big family
half-term
summer holidays, but half-term
breaks.
Talking half-term, right? Did you ever go on half-term breaks with your family?
Yeah, boy!
Sounds like a no.
Why did I respond like that?
Don't know, because you're in...
Of course I did.
Did you? What kind of thing would you do?
We would go to Devon.
Did you?
Yeah.
Devon knows how they make it so creamy.
You came every now and then.
Yes.
You didn't like it very much.
Dulverton.
You got bored, yeah.
No, I never got bored.
Dulverton's in all the papers now.
Why?
Because some ridiculous journalist has moved there and they're trying to make a big deal out of it.
Because it's unfriendly?
Well, that's what they're saying, which is nonsense.
Nonsense.
It's the most beautiful, friendly village in the country, and a great deal of members of my family live there.
Yeah, we had a nice time there, I remember.
They're the ones trying to chase out the journalist.
We found an abandoned car and jumped on top of it.
Smashed it in. And then we realised it wasn't abandoned. So that's what we used to do, little trips to Devon.
The good times.
What have you got planned for your family at half term?
Well, we are going to Centre Parks, the holiday the weather can't spoil. Other holidays that weather can't spoil are available. But we're going there, and it's a place I've never been to that kind of holiday resort before. The kind of
a space aged one.
It's sort of space aged. It's under a biodome, but more specifically, I'm thinking of places like that, a little bit like Butlins and
holiday camp,
holiday resort camp.
I mean, that's what it is. They wouldn't want to call it that, would they? Because that sounds so retrograde.
Yeah. But essentially, I suppose, yes, it's kind of high-end holiday camp, isn't it?
Medium end.
So, well, you know, I haven't been there. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be able to comment, possibly. But
what end it is?
I don't know what to expect. I'm a tiny little bit nervous about it.
Yes.
Right? Because also the other thing is that you're thrust together with a lot of families at those places. I mean, you get your little log cabin in the woods or something like that, I'm hoping. And then you plan your activities and stuff like that. But my family hasn't really been on its own. Like, we've been on family holidays, but generally we're joined by other people and stuff like that.
It's sure to be perfect. I can see you on your bikes.
Yeah.
Cycling across wood chippings.
In the rain.
I can see you whizzling down a water slide.
Uh-huh.
Frank going, woo! You catching him at the bottom and going, ha, 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 ha. Tossing your head back. I can see maybe
reading
your
that.
Younger son,
yeah.
Natty, cooking maybe with your wife.
Why are they laughing?
Because they're having such a great time.
I see.
I think it's going to be brilliant.
Yeah. And then me and my wife in the evening uncork a bottle of wine, have a little barbecue, and...
Egyptian mummy attack.
Yeah. Then go off to the fiberglass bum.
The fiberglass bum bar. It's going to be lovely.
You know, the thing I'm slightly worried about is the whole water slide thing, because I know that's going to be a big part of the attraction. But I feel a bit self-conscious going in and stripping off in a big communal area.
You used to put a proper T-shirt on, didn't you?
Yeah.
When you were little. You don't like bearing your upper torso.
No, I'm not that proud of my upper torso. So, you know, on holiday, like on a summer holiday, you have the excuse that you're protecting yourself from the sun's evil rays. Mm. But you can't do that under the biodome.
That's true. What are you going to do? Well, you could wear one of those wetsuits.
Yeah, you don't think that would mark me out as being slightly eccentric?
No. I think it's acceptable these days because, let's face it, nipples are obscene.
They are disgusting.
And in this contemporary conservative climate.
Yeah, especially hairy nipples.
Men's nipples. It's time to conceal them properly.
That's what I'm saying.
Hairy nipples. Yeah, it's too much for children, for young children.
So anyway, there's any number of things that could go right, as you've pointed out. But there's a lot of things that could go wrong.
You know what? I forgot this was a Text the Nation subject.
Well, exactly.
I thought we were just chatting.
Just chatting. So specifically, listeners, I'm curious about these kind of breaks that you've had that maybe have gone disastrously wrong. I'd like to know details. So don't forget, the text number is 64046, or for a longer missive, adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk.
So what is it again? Just things that have gone wrong. Things that have gone wrong on specifically half-term holidays.
Well, when you put it like that...
I'm just trying to make it easier for the listeners.
Yeah. So whether it's a caravanning holiday, you know, not specifically summer holidays, but short breaks with the family that have turned out to be a bit of a mare.
Yeah. Hey, listen, did you order a cab?
Yes, I did. Has it arrived?
Yeah. Did you order a death cab?
Oh, no, I didn't want a death cab. I just wanted a normal cab. Also, I'm not technically a cutie. So I don't think this cab is for cutie, isn't it? Is it not?
This is called Meet Me at the Equinox.
Meet Me at the Equinox, that's Death Cab for Cutie.
I mean, we did a very sort of obvious intro into that, didn't we? It's like there's a cab.
When am I going to get my chill cake?
Oh, yeah, let's deal with that. So last week, listeners, I'm going to do a little edit point here for the podcast.
Yeah.
Last week, listeners, we had a chill cake sent in to us. Is that going to work?
That's a good idea. Like, just rehearsing it on the live show.
Yeah.
So that we can edit it for the podcast.
Thanks. We were sent a chill cake by a listener, an actual chill cake. The listener's name is Tom Williamson, who lives in Liverpool. And some of our listeners were quite angry about our response to the chill cake. I mean, the chill cake, I think, had gone slightly off. It was made with fresh cream and posted from Liverpool. I think the cream may have been on the turn. And we did eat it. And that in and of itself is above and beyond the call of duty, because you're not really supposed to eat things that are sent in by listeners if you're a broadcaster. Is there any case history there? Have any producers, any presenters fallen foul of poisoned missives?
I think Eamon Holmes was in a coma for 8 years after eating a poisoned
caramel
cake.
A chill cake. I thought it was a spiked caramel. But anyway, yeah, so with stories like that going around, you can't be too careful.
How would you spike a caramel?
I don't know. We'll figure out a way.
Yeah.
But so anyway, poor old Tom, we were quite sceptical about his chill cake, but we did eat it.
We did eat it.
Yeah. Well, there was a lot of Twitter twitting.
Was there? Like about, saying that about, we were ungrateful.
I'm angry with Adam and Joe because they were so ungrateful to Tom.
We made it clear during the show that we were very grateful to Tom, and we thought it was a lovely gesture to have made a chill cake and sent it
There's
in.
There's no pleasing some people.
But if it tasted
with their demand,
what were we supposed
facts?
To do?
But Tom has sent us a nice little letter here. It's written in a Barro on a ripped-out piece of pad, which is quite nice, isn't it?
Very nice.
Dear Adam and Joe, I must apologise for sending you a dodgy chill cake. Something must have happened to it between Liverpool and London. I feel a bit bad for getting your hopes up after describing it as the cake equivalent of a Viscount biscuit. To try and make it up to you, here is something a lot safer. And he sent us a packet of biscuits.
A packet of Viscounts. Check it out. Oh, let's have one of them.
What's the sell-by date?
It's the chill biscuit. Come on.
No, they're all right. They're good till next year.
Good till.
Thank you, Tom. That's very kind of you.
Yeah, that's very nice of you.
And Williamson, not Wilkinson. I think we called him Wilkinson.
Possibly. It was a cavalcade of inaccuracy and disrespect.
As per usual.
As per usual. So, Tom, sincere thank yous, not just for these chill biscuits, but for the chill cake. It was really nice of you, and we did very much appreciate it. And we were just being jerks last week when we started laughing about it. But it was quite funny because it tasted strange. It tasted very odd. And it suddenly occurred to us as we were eating it that it was a stupid thing to be doing live on air, like eating a cake that you don't really know anything about.
But how lovely to get a handwritten note there.
Really nice. And
so much character in his writing.
I'm going to eat this for you, Tom. Cheers.
You just don't get that digitally. Look at that handwriting. It's expressing so much.
Now that is a delicious chill biscuit.
He's a dude.
Thanks,
That's
man.
That's the handwriting of a great guy.
That's the handwriting of a mega dude, I think.
Do you think?
Definitely.
Well, that's not something you can just bandy about.
Well, I think it says, doesn't it? Tom Williamson, MD.
Does it?
Well, it should do.
We had an angry letter about mega dude-dom.
Really?
Dear Adam and Joe, I just want to write to you to set the record straight regarding a person who wrote to you going by the name of The Mega Dude. He used to be a good friend of mine, but we've recently become sworn enemies. He's not a mega dude at all. Okay, I'll admit it, he's a bit of a dude, but mega, please! Hyper maybe, but even that's being generous. I had to laugh when I saw he was trying to get some publicity using your show, because everyone knows he still lives with his mum and has only ever done sex on himself.
Mega dude?
Yours, Lord Segs. I mean, that's relating back to something we mentioned several weeks ago, isn't it?
Why on earth would you read that out?
Well, I just did. Regular listeners to the show will remember the Mega Dude.
Mega Dude news.
And the fuss we made about it.
Thanks for that update.
And I just, it was in my, I popped that email in my 13-page
It was totally
notebook.
100% relevant to the Mega Dude conversation. We've got a free play coming up, Joe, and I think it's got your name on it.
Yeah, this is the Boards of Canada. Do you know about them, Adam?
Love them.
They do electronica, don't they, kind of thing?
Yeah, they're very great. Peter Serafinovich and Robert Popper got me into them.
This is from their album Music Has the Right to Children, which is it really from 1998?
Yes.
That long ago?
That's a brilliant album. That's the album to start with if you don't know about them.
This is a good track. It's very long, so we'll try and play you a decent chunk of it. This is called Aquarius, and it features people saying the word orange.
Oh, yes.
And children telling them that they're correct. Here it is.
Six music.
Today from two.
I'm in a cave with Nick Cave.
G'day, mate.
From midday.
I'm on like a terrible phone line.
But now.
It's Adam and Joe.
That's a track by Animal Collective there. That's Summertime Clothes, taken from their album Merryweather Post Pavilion, which came out at the very beginning of this year.
Featuring the cast of Stomp, which is great that that they would work together in that way.
Is that too stompy for you, Swampy?
It was good. No, it was very good. I've never heard Dustbin Lids used so effectively.
It's one of the albums of the year, Merryweather Post Pavilion, in my humble opinion. Yeah, have you drawn up your albums of the year list yet?
No.
The Year We Make Contact.
It's amazing, isn't it? Imagine Helen Mirren. Who else is up there in that spaceship?
Some bad
John
Russians.
Lithgow. John Lithgow's a Russian, isn't he?
Yes.
I prefer 2010 to 2001.
It's a better film.
It's got a more upbeat ending.
That's right.
They explain the monolith.
It makes a little bit of sense.
You know, just say what they are,
Stanley Kubrick. Try making a little bit of sense, Mr. Kubrick.
Don't be all abstract with your giant
features. You don't need
fetuses.
Your 20 minutes of paint falling over the camera at the end.
Just get Roy Schneider to tell us what's in them with words.
A little rompo with Kate Mirren.
Leslie Mirren, what's her name? Helen. Now listen, folks, it's time that we announce the winners of our Electric Proms Song Wars competition, for which we don't have a jingle. It feels like...
I did some electric noises.
Electric Proms.
The Song Wars competition.
All right. That's how we would do it if there was a jingle. And just to remind you, if you don't know what we're talking about, we asked people about 3 or 4 weeks ago to go onto the blog to check out the instrumental versions of some of our old Song Wars tunes. It was Joe's Quantum of Solace song and my Nutty Room song. And we asked them to send in videos of themselves just singing along to those songs or doing an interpretation of those songs. And we had some great entries that came in, and we have made our decisions right now. So do you want to say anything about your runners-up, Joe, or are you just going to go straight into your winner? Or?
Well, I've written a little thing for that'll go up on the blog that has some runners-up. I'd say the runners-up that really stood out for me were the wonderful Emmett family, who also entered our Video Wars competition. Do you remember their Video
sure,
Wars
I
entry? I mean, it was really spectacular. And they are role models for Broken Britain, because they're a very... unified family where mother and father and son and daughter work together to achieve something greater than the sum of their parts. And their video is extraordinary. It's a sort of beautifully choreographed flip chart based, you know, it's got lab coats and there's a whole intro spiel and the whole family dances. I love to see families dance. When's the last time your whole family just danced?
You know, I can't remember.
I mean, you'll be doing it at Centre Parks, probably.
Sure we will.
Yeah, on the final big night barbecue.
No, I wish we danced more often.
It's a beautiful sight. So the Emmett family I'd pick out, and also the other people I would pick out would be Al Ronald, I think his name was, and Cy Henty, who did an extraordinary video as well. But we'll put links to the runners-up on the blog, maybe. But my winner is a gentleman called Ben Mercer, and Ben's done a brilliant kind of acoustic guitar version of the song. We'll play you a little clip here. This is Ben, a tiny clip of Ben Mercer's winning entry.
The choir is honest.
He manages to make it sound really good.
He sounds like Jamie T there.
Yeah, something. Yeah, he's good. And you should take a look at him with your eyes, because he's a contemporary customer.
Absolutely.
And he's opening a new shop and it's going to be very popular.
He's got skinny trousers.
He really does. And his name's Ben Mercer, and I'm very honoured and privileged that he's going to be representing me and Cornball's International Torpedo Systems PLC at the Song Wars battle. Because let's not forget, this is a battle.
It is a battle. What are you going to do then? Are you going to collaborate with him on a rendition?
No, I'm going to just let him do his thing.
Let him do his thing.
I'm not going to go and urinate on his fries. Am I? He's got a lovely portion of fries. I'm not going to slam my fist in there.
No. Why would you?
Why would I do that?
Fist in his chips. My runners-up, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, and I got some really nice entries, and I did my best to go and leave a little comment on all the YouTube clips that I was made aware of. Sorry if I've missed any. But I really enjoyed a short film by, well, it was a short, you know, like a short video.
Christoph
by
Kieslowski.
Yeah, I just thought it was great. And I was amazed that he entered the competition, especially
since he's
no longer alive. I know. Rob Watts and Steve Gardner, however, are alive, and they entered. They actually came round last weekend.
To your house?
No, to film us outside the building.
Oh, yeah. They were waiting outside the BBC building.
They wanted to do a little bit of stalking with us. And it was very funny. You can see the results on YouTube. So thanks for that, chaps. Rushka Moore, she did a really nice... She had a lovely voice as well, and she was singing away and drawing a moustache on her
face.
What
happened to it?
Well, she's a runner-up.
Okay.
She also had a lovely picture of Bowie in the background there and changed the Nutty Room lyrics to reflect our affection for Bowie. Ben Adams, he was dressed up in a Superman costume on the toilet.
Yes.
I've got that same Superman costume, Ben, and I was very impressed. I mean, it was a very...
And you've got a toilet.
I've got a toilet.
We should be friends.
We should be buddies. And he's got a little beard as well, which I currently don't have. But when I grow my new one, let's hang out, Ben. I'm not serious.
What sort of thing is that to say?
Just covering myself.
You idiot hole.
I am serious, Ben. You look really great. We should hang out, but there's just no time. But the winners...
Sorry, that's Noggins the horse. Just come through. Come on, Noggins. Someone get that horse an apple.
We should... Listen, Ben, come on. Let's get together. Dids and Trish, however, are my winners. They sent in a really nice close harmony version of Nutty Room. Let's hear a little clip.
Nutty, I am a nutty man, I'm sitting in my nutty room, and I'm cutting some bits of human skin to make into a pick-a-coon. It's a clue for the cops, and I'm pulling out.
Very nice indeed. They work in a local pub in Cornwall. And Dids is also an artist extraordinaire. Trish designs stuff and sells her own range of luxury umbrellas. They say they're both fairly crafty and eat a lot of cake. I'm very much looking forward to meeting you, Dids and Trish, and congratulations for being my winners. And so what are we going to do? We're going to battle out Dids and Trish against Ben.
Well, I suppose we could do, as long as it was a fun battle.
Yeah.
A fattle. A fuddle.
I don't think there's any point in making it a competition at that stage.
No.
It's just a celebration at that stage.
Mm, there'll be a sense of who's won, though.
There's going to be a lot of kissing, though, right?
There will be a lot of kissing. I mean, you're going to win because you're Mr. Live Performance.
Oh,
in terms of, like, our general shoddiness. But, you know, no, it's going to be a big love-in.
And in greater terms, I'm Mr. Live Performance.
Yeah.
That's what I'm known as on the circuit.
Really? Little Michael Keaton's going to play you in a film of that name.
Dylan Moran's going to do the warm-up. Here he comes, Mr. Live Performance!
It's not so far-fetched. But no, I think both those winners are going to do a terrific job, and we're both hugely grateful to everyone who entered, because let's face it, this competition was saved from the jaws of ignominy by our listeners' response. You know, for the first week we had no entries, and every single person who entered we're hugely grateful to for saving our reputation. We would have been the laughing stock of the castle. Vernon Kay would have been pelting us with rotten fruit. Brucey would have been making scandalous comments about us, but you've saved our reputation, listeners, so thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. We really enjoy watching every single one of those. Here's Devendra Bernhardt with Baby. Dr. John there with Right Place, Wrong Time. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music. Very nice to be with you this Saturday morning, listeners. And I think it's time we had some made-up jokes, don't you? Here's the Jingle Jungle.
I'm a funny person, I often make up jokes. My jokes are more amusing than those of other folks. When you hear my joke, I think you'll find that you agree. Come on, you're all invited to a made-up joke party.
We are getting more and more of these things sent up. Just to remind you, if you're not familiar with this section, it's not lame jokes, it's made-up jokes, right? They have to be authored by yourself. So if it's just a case of some very simple wordplay and a little pun, which probably has been made many times before, I wouldn't bother sending that in. Send us your really tortured, insane ones, okay? That's the ones that we're particularly interested in. But then if you do have one that's just an absolute peach and you're convinced that you made it up, we'd like to hear that one too. For example, I'll get you started with a slightly gnomic one from Richard Harrison. He says, imagine my disappointment when I went to Selfridges and found out they didn't sell fridges.
Nice.
Yeah?
Yeah, I would say that's not made up.
You reckon?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident. I mean, it's good, but I think it's got a heritage. Yeah. I think it's used.
I mean, it's fairly...
It's second-hand.
It's a little obvious,
I suppose. It's good. It definitely works.
I like it.
What about this one? Not sure about this one. This is from Josh Sparrow. Hi, Adam and Joe. I've made up a joke that I've been testing out with various people. It's received a range of responses so far. Here we go. Did I tell you about the new keyboard that I bought from the music shop recently? I think it may be broken. It only seems to play Wagner. I think it must be a Nazi synthesizer. That's quite good, isn't it? From Josh Sparrow.
That is good. Here's one from Sarah. She says, I didn't make this up, but my best friend did, and I feel she deserves due recognition for her efforts. Where does the nutty professor work?
I don't know, tell me.
In macadamia.
Yeah, yeah, good. That's good.
She says, it made me laugh. Her name is Nancy Ockenden, and she and her husband Rick are avid fans. They'll be dead chuffed.
That's good. Nut jokes are good. We get quite a few cheese jokes
macadamia.
As well.
He's a macademic.
You get quite a lot of mascarpone jokes, don't we?
Yes, we've had a load of complicated jokes about masking a pony.
Cheese, I mean cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
After dinner snacks. How about this one from Amy and Earl in Sydney? This is our made-up joke. How do you get a samurai, his wife, a bandit, a psychic, a woodcutter, a priest, a commoner, and a baby on stage as quickly as possible? Rashomon. 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 It's a Kurosawa film.
With all those people in it.
Yeah. It's very famous.
That is a chucklesome little joke.
Come on. That's fun for film, that.
I'm pretty sure I've heard Jimmy Carr telling that one.
Yeah.
That's a very old joke.
Rashomon.
Here's one from Steve. Hi, Adam and Joe. My girlfriend made this joke up a few years ago. Where is contentment made? A satisfactory.
Oh, that's good.
That is a good
one.
That's
very good. But that's so good, you see.
Yeah.
I can't quite believe that's homemade.
I do believe that's homemade. I've never heard that one before, and it never even
really?
Occurred to me. Yeah.
Oh, that's very good. Who's that by?
Steve says his girlfriend made it up a few years ago.
Maximum respect, Steve's girlfriend.
Maximum, Steve's
she's
girlfriend.
She's nice, too.
Ooh, look at her. She's fine.
Look at that bit
look
of her.
Look at the joke she made
ooh,
up, yeah.
She's
ooh,
nice.
That is a nice joke.
I like clever women. Don't make a joke at my expense, though, otherwise there'll be trouble. That's what that man would say.
Sure. You got another joke there?
Yeah. You ready for it?
Yeah,
sure?
Go on.
Hello again, Adam and Joe. Oh, this is someone who's sent in several jokes. Okay, so you didn't like my first original joke. Here's my second attempt. It's on a similar theme. This is from Stuart in York. Oliver Cromwell and King Charles the First are driving down the street in a car. Yes, a car. And they're pulled over by the police. They both step out of the car as the policeman walks up to them. Is there a problem, officer? Asks Oliver Cromwell. Well, not with you, sir, but it's your friend over there, the policeman says, pointing to King James the First. I don't like his cavalier attitude.
Is that the punchline?
Hello, what?
That was the punchline.
Yeah.
That's very...
Cavalier. It's a play on cavalier.
Cavalier. Of course it
cavalier.
Is, yeah.
But it's nice because it's laboured, isn't it? The build-up's laboured.
Certainly
yeah.
It's laboured. That's okay, a very nicely laboured setup.
Quickly do one.
Here's a pithy one from Ben in Glasgow, who's aged 14, he tells us, and that's impressive, I think. Cause this
to
is
be aged 14?
Yeah. Imagine
in
getting away with that in this day and age. A cowboy walks into a German garage. What does he say?
I don't know.
Audi.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
That's good, Ben in Glasgow, aged 14. I mean, if you're coming out with those at 14...
That's amazing. Imagine what he's going to be coming out with at 16.
You're going to have your own pretty middle-of-the-road TV show by the time you're 20.
Dear Adam and Joe, I thought up the following joke today. What do sharks do to earn pocket money? Jaws. I hope you like it. Jonathan Cobb. That's
Jaws.
Good,
you know
it?
What? I didn't get it when I read it in the email.
Really?
Yeah.
Jaws. That's quite good.
That's very good. You got any more?
Yeah, I've got hundreds of
hundreds.
Them. I've got literally millions.
All right, you're allowed one more.
I'm trying to find a good one. Hello, Adam and Joe. This is my joke that I made up, and you can tell I made it up because my name is Lee, and the joke involves my name, Lee. Here goes. What did Oil of Ule used to be called? I love you, Lee.
Why did you read read that out. That's not a joke.
Because it's in green.
That's he sent just it in words green. With his name in.
He sent it in green and it attracted my eye. Levis. Man.
Here's a free play for you, listeners. This is the Bee Gees with You Should Be Dancing. We said it before, but that's very reminiscent of Spy Who Loved Me era Bond, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I think they probably kind of vaguely ripped it off for the Bond film, didn't they?
That's a good way. Yeah, yeah,
I
yeah.
I love that track.
Can't beat the Bee Gees with a big stick, not even if you want to.
Can't beat James Bond with a sort of ski pole with a gun in it.
No.
Because he dodges out the way, then does a backflip.
Exactly. That's typical Bond.
Mm.
Adam and Joe here on Six Music. Just gone 11:30. It's time for the news. See, I like the end of that song, James. But like the beginning and the middle part,
it's a bit too poppy. Do you think it's for this kind of a show?
Well, this
you
is
know?
A very, very highbrow show.
Yeah,
James.
Exactly. An intellectual
you know.
Program.
It's very edgy, and we play.
Our listeners are patronised by that type of rhythm.
Yeah, they really are, and they're very opinionated. Our
they're
listeners,
very opinionated.
You know, they won't let us get away with anything, and they certainly won't let you, James, the producer, get away with anything. Mm. They didn't let the 14-year-old boy from Glasgow get away with the Audi joke.
People are very angry about the Audi joke being paraded in front of them as that boy's, you know, work.
Poor old Ben from Glasgow. I'm afraid it looks as if Tim Vine has maybe got there before you, Ben. Tim Vine has more or less got in before absolutely everyone.
But, you know, we've already established it is possible for two people to think of the same joke. So, Ben, you shouldn't. You're just as clever as Tim Vine,
yeah.
Which, you know, might be a good thing, might cause problems for you later.
No, man, it's a good thing. Tim Vine is a joke genius, and if you're on the same territory as Vine, then you've got to be doing something right. But I don't believe that these people are sending them in, deliberately having stolen them, plucked them from
sounds
the vine.
Like do.
No, I don't. I'm standing up for them. I think Ben, what do I think?
I don't know what you think. Whatever's popular, that's what you think.
Ooh, you really meant that, didn't you, did Commander I? Cornish, you with your torpedo?
Let's get into some textanations.
Let's have the jingle from a real Russian sent this in. Here it is.
Text the nation. What if I don't want to? Can I use an email? Is that a problem?
No, it's not a problem.
Like, we assumed that was someone doing a sort of Borat job on the Text the Nation jingle, but we are assured, although it might just be another tissue of lies.
It might just be.
That it's a real Russian man. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. Let's get into this week's Text the Nation.
What's the subject this week, Adam?
Pinning me down, eh?
Yeah.
Well, we were thinking about kind of family excursions that you've had, not necessarily summer holidays, but half-term breaks and things like that, that have maybe been less than enjoyable. Is
yeah.
that good enough? Does that fit in with what you've
it's,
got?
Yeah, it does. It's kind of nightmare holiday stories with a sort of peculiar proviso that they have to be half-term. That doesn't really probably impact on the stories themselves.
No.
Are there any, like, are we looking at something that's uniquely half-term based?
Don't ask me more questions. Just read out what you've got.
Okay, this is from Gary in his shed. Dear Adam and Joe, I once went to Centre Parks at the tender age of 16. On arrival, I ran to pool, excited at the prospect of the flume. Halfway down, my big toe caught a rough joint on the slide and my nail was ripped off.
Ooh! I mean,
ouchie, poo-poo.
That's terrible. Can
that's
that really
terrible.
Happen?
I mean, I'm sure their slides are much more
smooth
now. That's owned. Probably a thing of the past. And, yeah. Here's another one. Daniel in Reading. We went to Yarmouth with my mum and aunt many moons ago, and the weather was terrible, so we spent most of the time in the caravan. Mum and aunt began getting right on each other's nerves, culminating in a physical fight. My aunt hitting my mother with a broom.
Whoa.
And my mother hitting her on the head with a china bowl full of pasta.
No way. Are they in a caravan?
Yeah.
That, of course.
That's like Kill Bill 2.
A caravan has got to be a pressure cooker environment, though,
yes.
For a family holiday. It must have, surely something kicks off in a
more
caravan.
More of a pressure cooker than a biodome?
Well, no, because the biodome is larger and there's more places to hide.
I think
stuff.
Those places trap psychic energy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a fight on your holiday.
Well, you'll find out in a couple of weeks, I guess.
What if that woman's there?
Which woman?
From the bum park.
She may well be. It's the same general area. Yeah, that would be terrifying. Here, come on, you're coming up here. You can stand in the queue over here.
Here's one from Gary in Lynethley. Dear lads, my family went on a mystery tour which ended up in Ilfracombe. Me and my girlfriend had food poisoning. My mother stepped on our dog's ear before the journey. My brother ate a box of eclairs on the bus and was sick. And my mother was attacked by a lunatic. And we saw a youngish man who sported a Hitler moustache.
He was the guy from Wild Beasts.
What an amazing list of incidents.
You know, the worst one I would think would be the eclair vomit.
Why? Because the toffee bits might not have been fully
the cream digested. Once that comes back up again, is just
it depends whether they're chocolate eclairs or
you're thinking
buns.
They might have been the sweets.
Yeah, like the toffees with chocolate inside.
I got the impression it was eclairs.
Maybe creamy
eclairs.
Creamy puke. Jason from Leeds. How do you think this is going?
Very well. This is a good one.
Good. Yes. Jason from Leeds. Half-term holiday in Turkey went so wrong. My dad would wear a pair of too tight black satin speedos with it all on show and a pair of clogs. Everybody would stare at him, but he just carried on. We got talking to some other kids 3 days into the holiday, and one kid said, "Have you seen that man with the tight trunks with large package wearing clogs?" We said, "No, whoever can that be?"
Oh, that was Dad. He sounds like a mega dude.
There's a very strong image there, yeah. Isn't there? I mean, I can really picture that guy.
Maybe I should wear... Do you reckon I should wear that kind of thing under the biodome?
Yes,
I think
if you're self-conscious about your hairy chest, you should go completely the other way and really ram it up people's faces.
And the way to do that is...
Can you ram something up a face?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's what I think you should do. I think the trunks should be really tiny and there should definitely be clogs. Very big wooden tourist clogs from Amsterdam. Yes. Wow. And nothing else.
And nothing else.
Come on, kids.
I don't know if I want to humiliate
Let's get out
children.
Of here. I hate the stink. That's the kind of thing
Who's
you'd
saying
say.
That?
You
oh,
are.
That's me saying
You are,
that.
Yeah. You're sort of using what you got from that woman and you're using it as
I don't want to poison
your
the atmosphere
arsenal.
In the biodome.
It's just an idea.
All right, then. Should we have a few more of these texts just before we... Or not?
Possibly not.
We can
You know what? I think this
in?
Is a very rarefied Text the Nation subject, and it would probably be better if people have the week to think about it and contribute to retro
By
Text
rarefied, you mean brilliant, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely
yeah,
brills. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you're listening during the week, please do keep your texts on that subject coming in. The email address, and please emails only during the week, not texts, is adamandjoe.6music@bbc.co.uk. Here is Idlewild right now. This is Readers and Writers. It's a little kind of fun community parade there from Idlewild. That was called Readers and Writers. This is Adam and Joe here on BBC Six Music.
Just looking down my document for ideas. I've got some quite half-formed ideas that I could have a go with.
Oh, really?
Is that a good idea? I've got a note here. It just says, worst possible name for a feature film.
Mm.
Come on, let's go get some antihistamine. That'd be a good name for a film?
Well, I mean, that's very much something I'm concerned with at the moment. I would go and see it because I'm...
Because you're a target market.
Yeah, because I've got a great deal of swelling around my elbow, so I'm interested in antihistamine.
What about a film about a team of road diggers? It's called Manhole.
Yeah,
I
like
it. See that?
I'd see anything called Manhole.
Would you?
Certainly.
Would you see a film called Closed for Refurbishment?
Mm.
Do you think that would be a good name for a film?
Who's in it?
Julia Roberts.
I love her.
And Vince Vaughn.
I don't like Vince Vaughn. He threatens me. I don't know. Have you met Vince Vaughn?
No.
I don't know what he's like. I get the feeling that he would beat me up or hurt me or intimidate me somehow.
The problem with that one would more be the listings.
Yeah.
You know, and the hoarding at the front of the
What's
cinema.
Vince Vaughn doing in Closed for Refurbishment?
Sort of acting.
Yeah.
Kind of...
Mainly being himself, isn't
being
he?
Being himself, yeah.
Don't know. I'm going to give that one a pass.
That's it. That was that idea.
How about... This is a serious question now, Joe. Mm. What's your worst song from this year been? Worst music song that's come out?
Man, I don't know. I wouldn't...
Do they not stick in your head like that?
Not really,
Well, they
no.
don't usually stick in mine, but the other day I was out in a shop. Have you ever been to one of those?
No.
They're amazing. You can get stuff there. And...
over the tannoy, is that what you call it? The speakers in the shop. They were playing some music and I thought, wow, this is a bad song. And I sat there and I was mesmerized by it. And it was a kind of a up-tempo, stupid, poppy thing with a lady singing. And I just thought, who the heck is responsible for this? And it was, the lyrics were just the most asinine, crass thing I'd ever heard in my life. It just seemed like something that was constructed by morons to appeal to lunatics. Turned out it was Alicia Dixon. And the song was The Boy Does Nothing. Do you know that track?
Have you got it with you?
I should have brought it in. I assumed everyone knew what it was, right?
I read a rave review. She's a talent show winner, isn't she? She's X Factor from last year, is she?
She was on Strictly Come Dancing. She used to be in Miss Teak, I think. And she's now the judge that replaced the old lady.
Okay, now I'm with you, so I'm completely wrong, yeah. So she's the one that everyone's complaining about.
Yeah. Poor lady, she's probably had an unpleasant year in that respect. And I'm sure she's talented after a fashion. But this song, which she probably didn't write, so I'm not slagging her writing skills off, I hope, is the worst thing I've ever heard.
We've got to hear it. You've got to bring it in.
I'll bring it in next week then. How about that? I've got to go and buy the thing.
That was a good link. It was two ill-formed ideas.
Yeah.
They really came together there into one big ill-formed idea. Here's a free play. This is, I don't really know what this song is, speaking of weird songs. I tried to Shazam it, but Shazam wouldn't recognise it.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's by a producer called Ghost. He's like a UK hip-hop producer. It's from a compilation called Seldom Seen, Often Heard. It's called Talk To Me, and it's, hello? No, it's Boggins! How did he get in?
I thought
it smelled funny.
I've done a puke in a corner of the room. I'm going to rub it on your legs.
If we could just stop him making that noise, it would improve things. Anyway, yeah, this is called Talk To Me, and it's just a bit of breezy kind of lady soul. It's just a bit of fun. Listen, don't get worked up about it.
Yeah.
It's just a bit of fun. All right, here it is.
I like that bit at the end there. That's really nice.
I like it. It's a grower, that record, but I don't know really what it is.
Where did you find it?
On my hard disk. You know, do you ever find stuff like that?
Sometimes you do, yeah. Yep. And it didn't, Shazam came up. How does Shazam work?
You hold your phone to the speaker and it tells you what it usually recognises.
I know how it works your end, but how does it recognise the song? Like, does it go through a computer?
Distinct waveform, audio, fingerprint, you know?
Amazing. Modern technology. Mm. Hey, you know what? One thing we were chatting about, which we didn't talk about during the show, but maybe we should talk about next week, was the whole David Letterman thing. I don't know if you're aware of this, viewers, but David Letterman was apparently blackmailed by a producer at CBS in the States who had found out about these sexual relations that he'd had with people that worked on the TV show he does.
I can't believe you're getting into this a minute before the end of the show.
I know, but I was sort of setting it up for next week. We're going to chat about it.
Right.
And so rather than be blackmailed by this guy, David Letterman confessed the whole thing live on air. You can find the clip on YouTube. So if you haven't seen it, go and check it out. And I'd like to hear your thoughts on the subject.
I'm busy next week.
But I would like to talk about it.
Adam's going to be co-presenting with Alistair Stewart. Thanks for listening, listeners, this week. And we really look forward to seeing anybody who's got tickets to come and see us at the Electric Proms on Thursday lunchtime. It's going to be a very sort of friendly, chaotic occasion, but we can't wait for it. And thanks to everyone who's emailed and texted the programme.
Yes, stay tuned for Liz Kershaw. She's coming up very shortly. We're going to leave you with Julian Casablancas. Don't forget to download the podcast on Monday evening. We love you. Bye.
Bye.